Thanks for coming today. Thanks for the worship team. Thanks for leading us. It was great. Thanks to the folks who are working with refugees, and thanks for you, the ones who the Holy Spirit is speaking to and prompting to perhaps get involved for the first time, or perhaps re-engage with that process with some new folks. It's great to see what God is doing and what He will continue to do, as He has already prepared those things in advance for us to be able to do, right? And so this is like literally coming to fruition before our very eyes, as God is already preparing hearts. He's preparing your heart today to be engaged in that. He's prepared the hearts of those who are in other nations, other countries, other situations to take those next steps. And God is preparing us, His church, for those wonderful things that He has created. And in all of that, God is doing that because you are His workmanship, right? And He is doing that because He is creating something in you, something that no robber, no thief, no murderer can ever steal away. That's a promise from Him. So I would encourage you to pray about that and to ask God that wonderful question. God, what would you want me to do here? So today we're going to look at God's Word. And in particular, we have been looking at the armor, right? The armor of God. And so we've looked at the shield of faith. We've looked at the belt of truth, right? And Bob gave us that great illustration of, you know, putting on all the hockey gear. And was reminded of last night Toronto lost to Vancouver. And we won't talk anymore about that. But Roberto Luongo, who was a great, great goaltender for Vancouver, you know, a number of years back. And there was one night right on national television that he didn't come out for one of the periods, the start of one of the periods. And then in the TV timeout, after we came back from the break, there he was in net again. And it's because he had to use the bathroom. And there was no way he was going to make it through the period without having to use the bathroom. So he couldn't come out, and he had to take off all of his goalie gear. And if you understand, if any of you goaltenders out there, Brian, I see you back there, any of you goaltenders out there understand, it's like not an easy thing to get into a little cubicle, right, with your pads and all of that. And so he had to totally take everything off and put it back on. And that belt of truth, right? That belt of truth that your loins girded, it's just not holding your tummy in. That's not what it does, right? Everything connects to that. If you've been to a chiropractor, a physiotherapist, an occupational therapist, a doctor, a general practitioner, they would be able to tell you that your core, right? It's where everything is connected together. And you go in and you're like, you know, my jaw's been hurting. And the doctors say, well, let me see your posture. Let me see how you stand. What? Right? Ask me how many words I talk. Maybe it's because I'm moving my jaw too much. And lo and behold, there's this core issue that's affecting and everything's out of sync. And you're waking up every morning with this pain in your jaw. That truthfully can happen because it's all connected here. And so what we're talking about today is truth, and everything fits together in that way. And so Bob talked about that, you know, there's the shield of faith, and then our feet shod, fitted with the gospel of peace. And we talked about what that means to have peace in your life and in your heart. Well, today we're talking about the helmet. The helmet of salvation, as the Apostle Paul describes it. And it's a very, very important piece of armor that will save you. It will literally save you, right? My friend Scott, he was involved for a number of years at working with technology that helped helmets kind of decipher when you had a collision, to how severe it was, and it was really, really cool. Really amazing, because our head is a very important thing, right? And maybe we take it for granted, but then when we fall or we're hit or we suffer something, you know, it seems that anything above the neck It's very painful. I know that I had dental surgery a number of years ago, and it was the first time that I can honestly say that I really looked forward to taking that next pain pill. It was incredible, those little incisions to graft a little bit of skin. It would cause me so much discomfort and pain, but it did. And of course, we have, you know, up in there our noggin. Now, some people accuse me of not having much up in my noggin. But the truth is we have a very important thing, right? Our brain. It runs us. It controls us. It allows us to be who we are. And it is an important piece of our physiology. Your body can, I guess, live in certain ways, but if your brain is not alive, you're really not there. So we're going to talk about the helmet of salvation today. Well, I wasn't even involved in the funeral service. As I remember it, we weren't even late for the funeral. Have you ever been late for a funeral? Oh, it's such a terrible thing. My grandmother and one of my aunts, they were terribly late for a funeral one time, and they arrived at the church and they saw the cars in the yard, and so they rushed in, but the only seats in the sanctuary were right at the front, in the front row, right in front of the casket, and the casket was closed, and they were about 20 minutes late for the funeral. So they very carefully and graciously sat down, and they got about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through the funeral, and then discovered that there might possibly be another church in this community that is having a funeral, because they actually went to the wrong funeral. Now, as I remember, we weren't even late for the service, and I knew exactly where it was. It was just another typical Saturday morning, actually. The sun was out. The birds were singing, and Heather and I were on our way to a funeral for someone in our community that we had actually never met. You know, being the new pastor in a relatively small community means you get to go to lots of different things. And this funeral was one of those very things. It was for extended family of one of our congregant members. Having only been at the church for a few months and trying to put my best foot forward, I was always at the ready to connect with folks who might at some point walk through the doors of our church facility some Sunday morning. And at the time, we were driving a candy apple red Pontiac Sunfire two-door coupe, or as they say in Top Gear, a coupe. Not the most high performance of vehicles, I will admit, but I must say that it drew a lot of attention from people when it drove by or when it was parked. It drew a lot of attention with the RCMP, to be actually honest. See, a few weeks earlier, I was stopped. I was actually asked to get out of my vehicle, and I was questioned as I was on my way to the little corner store, the M&D, Mom and Dad's corner store, for some weekend snacks. The timing couldn't have been more perfect. Right at dusk that it maximized the flashing of the police lights. Not to mention that getting pulled over in front of our church treasurer's house, along with three other members' houses, was kind of icing on the cake. Now, unknown to me at the time, but there was a young man who lived in the community who had exactly the same car that I did. And new and moving into the community, I had no idea. And apparently, he had, in an attempt to reenact an episode of the Dukes of Hazzard, had subsequently had his license revoked by a judge. Now, back to the funeral. The drive to the funeral home took us through a number of little villages along the way, each one with its hello and goodbye flowered sign. All but one of these communities had a consistent speed of 80 kilometers an hour, and you could just breeze right through. But Lakeville, still holding on to its designation as a village, had one traffic calming measure. At the bottom of the hill as you entered into town, there was a small engine/chainsaw repair shop and a movie rental store. The speed reduced from 80 kilometers an hour to 50 kilometers an hour. Typically, residents would coast down the hill into town, slowing eventually to the prescribed speed. Now, I wish I had have been late for the funeral. I really do, and this is why, because all of my congregants, including the treasurer and his neighbors who had just recently seen me pulled out of my car and questioned by the RCMP, wouldn't have been able to slowly drive by us as we listened to the nice police officer say, and I quote, 101 is too fast, Mr. Budd. Heather still reminds me of that quote every once in a while. Well, we actually stopped at the station after the funeral and paid the ticket before the officer even had time to drop off the original. We sold the Red Sunfire not that long after that. You know, lots of things go through my mind about those events. I replay events and responses that I would have, or I should have, or I could have. The truth of the matter is 101 is too fast to coast into Lakeville. Now, for the record, I always slowed down by the time I got to the little spillway, the remnants of the sawmill, which provided a bridge through the center of the community. Now, part of me still wants to blame the car or Bo and Luke Duke for convincing that other guy that he could outrun the cops, but actually 101 is too fast. Doesn't the world kind of seem like that right now? It seems that at times both leaders and the led are outside the boundaries of what we know to be right. Have you noticed just how polarized and partisan and pointed our social media has become in 2022? It would be great to be able to stand here today and to say that, but Christians have been the healing and calming part of social media, but we all know that that's not the case at all. Christians have actually been right in the thick of the nastiness, the division, the cancel culture, like everyone else. We are way over the speed limit on this. 101 is too fast. You know, 101 ways to lose your mind and your witness is just too fast. Now, when Christians lose their minds, people eventually lose their faith. Social media has given everyone the ability to speak right into the public square. Policymakers to PTA participants alike have more influence and voice than ever before. When has a single parent from Canada ever had the ability to speak to 10,000 or 100,000 or 1 million people about the world around us? Well, never until now. As people of faith, we shouldn't willfully or ignorantly overlook this. Christians, well, what are Christians called to do and to be? Well, according to Jesus, Christians are called to be salt and light. salt and light in the world, and we ought to be providing those two things, even on social media. So for a few brief moments, I want us to all slow down. I want us to all take a deep breath as we look at this passage. And I would love to leave you with a few tools to drive out of here with your tank full and your cruise control set. The truth is, we are all in the same car. You're all in my red Sunfire, by the way. What does Paul tell us here in verses 1 to 3? Paul reminds us that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We commit sins because of our sinful state. And notice that Paul doubles this, right? He talks about our position, our state, but then he talks about our action or our activity. So we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Now, that's the exact opposite of what the world would tell us and describe us, right? The world will attempt to have you believe that you are basically good, people are basically good, but the fact that we can do good things is not a reflection that we are basically good. It is a reflection that even though we are marred and tarnished and stained by sin, we still bear the image of God. We bear that. But spiritually we are separated and far from God. According to the Apostle Paul, spiritually we are dead. Now Paul continues. We're not only dead, he says in these verses 1 to 3, he says, but we're actually disobedient. We walked or followed the ways of the world. Now, make no mistake, the quickest and easiest way to disobey God is to just follow the world. Without any knowledge or experience of what God has to say about something, and then blindly following whatever the current trend or philosophy that the world has to offer, is really not what God has intended for his children. Now, sometimes what the world comes upon and discovers and promotes can be very healthy and good, but for the grace of God. But the truth is that if we base our life on what the world always does, we will be sadly in error. So Paul goes as far as to acknowledge just who we used to be, who we used to follow. And in verse 2, we read, according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the spirit now working in the disobedient. So it's not too difficult to see this at work around us, right? As the world has never been more divided, the world has never been more polarized, the levels of anger and despair have not been like this in most of our lifetimes. Wars and rumors of wars are happening, it seems, daily. And many of us would probably hope to go back to the dumpster fire. Remember the dumpster fire? That was 2020. You know, with the murder hornets. If we knew that this is where we would see society and this is what we would be experiencing as we come into 2022. There is hope, however. Now, I don't want to leave us there. It would be a terrible thing to leave us there. And we're not going to stay there because there is hope. And we don't want to miss this in the text. God sticks his perfect but in here in verses 4 to 6. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now, notice what God does here for us. First, he loves us. That's first and foremost. That's full stop. First, he loves us. That's unconditional. That's unwavering. That's actually supernatural love. We call it agape love. And that is available for you right now. So that's the first thing he does. He loves you. He loves you. It doesn't matter who you are. He loves you. It doesn't matter what you believe. He loves you. It doesn't matter if you don't believe he exists. He loves you. He is also merciful. Even though we are guilty, God does not punish us. Instead, he extends to us love, mercy, and grace through his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. And on the cross, love, mercy, and grace meet in salvation through Jesus. Well, that's amazing. That's amazing grace, right? That's grace on top of grace. It is a gift that we don't deserve, we can't buy or earn. It is given to us when we put our trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. Notice what happens here as a result. We are raised up. A great image of being raised like a dead person coming back to life. Right? And in baptism, when someone enters into those waters of baptism, they're immersed in the water, right? They're symbolically, right? They're going in the grave, and then they rise again in Christ Jesus, a new creation, brought back to life in him, baptized in Jesus. But Paul is also describing to us that we no longer are trapped in this lower heavenly realm where the devil robs, kills, and destroys. We actually rise above all of that. And God does that for us. We don't do that. We don't flex our spiritual muscles and somehow rise above, right? I want to sing a song, but Facebook will mute me, so I'm not going to. There's something to the along the lines of rise up, right? But God does all this for us. It's his mercy. It's his love. It's his grace. It's his kindness that he gives to us. I don't have to meet some threshold or requirement. That's a good thing because, well, I'll speak for myself, but I'll never be able to meet that kind of requirement. This is God's work on our behalf. He makes us alive through the incomparable riches of his grace. He seats us above the realm of the evil one. This is God's plan. This is his doing. And he accomplishes this through the work of his Son and through his Spirit that lives within each believer, those who have put their trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. Every morning, you need to remind yourself of that. You need to read scripture about that. You need to have that become a part of who you are. You need to eat it and digest it and let it give you strength. And that is that helmet of salvation that we put on. It'll protect you. It'll protect that noggin. It'll protect the things that bounce around in there. It'll protect what comes out of that mouth of yours and mouth of mine. It'll protect those fingers as they go about their business on social media. And that is available to us through Christ Jesus. So, Pastor, if this is the case, why are so many Christians losing their minds on social media? Well, let's look at the words of Paul's to understand that when we know better, we do better, right? Let me repeat that. When we know better, we do better. Paul does speak about this later in the epistle in chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. This is what he says in the book of Ephesians, the same book, the same epistle. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in what? In the attitude of your mind. And when we remember just what Jesus has done for us, just what God has done for us through salvation, through his gift to us, his mercy, his grace, his love, his kindness, we have the opportunity to rise above and to live differently. I think first and foremost, the battle is won and lost in the mind. It's no coincidence that God uses the helmet to symbolize and describe what he has done for us through Christ Jesus. We can think differently than the devil and the world because the Holy Spirit lives in us. God's presence goes with us, and Jesus' work of salvation frees us to live according to the newness of life. We can rise above everything that hinders and holds us back to walk in a way that brings glory to God and leads others closer to him. But we have to be willing to do this every day. Paul teaches us that this is a daily ritual, not a one-time rite. Right? Ephesians chapter 6, same epistle. Chapter 6, verse 11, this is the words of Paul. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Every day I need a renewal of my mind, that I am saved, that I am his, and that he has a plan and a purpose for my life. When I lose sight of that, when I lose my mind, people around me could quite possibly lose their faith. We're talking about influence here. We're talking about your witness, your walk, your testimony. Notice verse 10 in our passage. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. You know, God desires that you have influence with your family. God desires that you have influence with your children. God desires that you have influence with your neighbors, with your boss, and the person who you disagree with about politics and parenting and economics and hockey online. Your witness takes years to build, and one Facebook post to lose. Whether or not someone will listen to you, or I dare say even trust you, can depend on what video, what tweet, what Facebook post that you shared or commented on last. They will ghost you, they will roll their eyes, and they'll once again be affirmed in the faith and belief that Christians are actually not very credible. Now, I love my church. I love this place. I love you guys. There's something in particular that I truly love about this place. We teach and demonstrate the unity that we have in Christ Jesus. So what I'm about to say is absolutely as close to a political statement that you will ever hear me say from this pulpit. The truth is that God is not conservative. God is not liberal. God is not New Democrat. God is not green. God is not libertarian. God is not bloc. God is not independent. God is not a capitalist. God is not a socialist. God is not an anarchist. God is not a benevolent dictator. God transcends all of these categories and many more. And if we ever think that God has the same opinions about our favorite thing that we do, then there might be a good chance that we're actually not worshiping God, because he transcends all of those things. Now, what are the good things that God has created in advance for us to do then? Well, God has actually created us. God has created KBC, and God has created you to be an authentic alternative to the current narrative that is all around us. To quote Carrie Newhoff, he's a pastor in Barrie, Ontario, "People don't just want to know what you think is right. They want to know what's real." And when we put on the armor of God, it's not to point to ourselves. It is not to defend ourselves apart from being ready to deflect the devil's schemes, but rather so that we can point others to Jesus. Let's not lose our minds and in turn lose these next generations. Let's slow the car down and let's be very deliberate in how we begin our walk each day with Christ. Because 101 is just too fast. Now, I was able to overcome my encounters with the RCMP. I think it helped that we ditched the car. But way beyond that, it was our relationship that we had with the community. And as people had conversations with us and spent time with us and got to know us, they realized that we weren't members of the Dukes of Hazzard. But rather, we had committed ourselves to introducing as many people as we possibly could to the real Jesus by how we lived and how we loved, and how we forgave, and how we were merciful, and how we listened to those people, even the ones that we didn't disagree with, or that we did disagree with. Our influence in the community grew as we committed ourselves to that. And we did that by, as the best we could, by putting on the armor every day. Protect yourself. Put on his armor. You'll be glad you did. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, be with our city. Watch over us, Lord. Lord, be with our country. Lead us and guide us. Father, work in the world the way that only you can. Father, may we find unity in Jesus. May we lead others to real conversations about how he makes all the difference. And Lord, in doing so, maybe we'll even see some folks saved to know him, to rise above, and to live lives as your workmanship, doing those great and wonderful things that you've created for us to do. Lord, be with us. Watch over us. Continue to love us. And send us out from this place, Lord, to do your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.